All right, we're going to transition now to a time in the Word. This is a little bit different. I know our communion setup has been that we pray because we're already in the Lord's presence through communion. And so we started in August as we transitioned to a time of prayer. But then I did not think through the reality of Advent and the fact that, you know, we got to celebrate Advent and then do communion at the same time. So it's like, okay, so for December, we're going to go back to like a regular format. So in January, we're back to our communion prayer. So we're not neglecting that. That's been, I think, pretty powerful. And we're going to continue to obey the Lord and pray together and spend a lot of our time together in prayer after communion, starting again in January. But in December, with all of our Advent programming, it's just a little bit too much to try to squeeze in to one time of worship. So we're doing something that's a bit more traditional, and we have our time in the Word. So that's why we're doing this a little bit differently. In any event, we have a series that we have embarked upon for Advent. It started last week. Roger opened us up, and it's called Make Room for Advent Blessings. So we have these Advent blessings that we celebrate every Advent. Many Christians and many denominations do this around the world, where we celebrate different kinds of blessings or even virtues like peace, love, hope, joy. Sometimes faith is in there, right? There may be another one that's added in there. There's a little bit of diversity in terms of the ones that we celebrate. It's kind of a group of maybe six or seven of them. But for our time, we're looking at peace, love, hope, and joy. Last week, Roger opened us up because last week was the first Sunday in Advent, and he talked about hope. So if you want to get if you want to get that sermon, if you need to rehear it, or if you want to take it in for the first time, it's up on our YouTube page. But today we're going to be talking about making room for peace. And our whole point in this Advent series is to say, look, we have these different kinds of blessings that are ushered into the world as a result of the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world, right? Peace, love, hope, joy, some of these things are explicitly announced by angels or through prophecy because Jesus came into the world. You see this in the nativity stories, especially in Luke and in Matthew, and then you see them also pop up in the Old Testament prophecies that were foretelling Jesus's first advent, right? But then I wanted to say, okay, that's great. How do we make room for these? It's one thing to say Jesus brought hope. How do I make room in my own heart for that hope? Jesus brought peace. How do I make room in my own heart for peace? How do I do that? You know, by the grace of God, by the power of God in my life, through the power of community, how is that even possible? How can I make room? I believe that Jesus ushers in peace. How do I do it? How do I make room for it in my own heart? How do I grab that and appropriate that? And so that's what we're looking at in this series. So today we're going to be looking at Isaiah 7 through 9. And I know that's a massive chunk of scripture. We will not be reading every bit of Isaiah 7 through 9. Fear not. Okay, so if you looked at it, you went, oh, wow. You know, man, I guess lunch is going to be really late today. No, not doing it to you. But we're going to be looking at Isaiah 7 through 9. I'm going to pray for our time in the Word, and let's ask the Lord to be with us. Father God, in the great name of Jesus, we acknowledge that we need you. We need a holy and gracious God to be with us through the power of the Holy Spirit as we open up the Word today. We need a word from you, from heaven, for our hearts, for our households, for our families, for every aspect of our lives, for our finances, for our workplace, for our relationships with our neighbors, for our relationships with our children, Lord God, how we relate to our culture. Lord, we need you for all that and much more. We are praying that you'd speak to us through the power of your word to that end, Lord God. Speak to us powerfully for every part of our lives that you are addressing. Speak to us in your word. Give us a word from you in the name of King Jesus. Amen. Right, so we're going to be looking at making room for peace, right? And we're going to be in Isaiah 7 through 9. And when we do that, just to open us up, I wanted to quote a guy named Constantine Kissin. He's not a Christian. He's kind of a social commentator. He's got a YouTube show or YouTube channel called Trigonometry, where he and a friend of his or a partner of his, they do long form interviews addressing different kinds of aspects of culture. He's a Russian-born Jew. And then he immigrated to the United Kingdom some years ago. So I think he grew up really in the United Kingdom. And he has a lot of good things to say. And one thing I heard him say is he was speaking to Oxford, like the Oxford Union in England. And it struck me one time when he was talking in general about the future and how we see it. And he said, this is a few years ago, he said he had recently had a kid. Right, he's a son, and this is his first kid, and he was talking about how dramatic of a change it was to go from being a guy with no kids to becoming a father. And one thing he said that just it stuck with me. I love this quote. I never thought about things like this until he said it. He said that when you have a child, the future has a face and the name. When you have a child, the future has a face and a name. And that really struck me because I was like, I got four kids. He's absolutely right. Suddenly the future wasn't just some amorphous thing that we're progressing into through time, right? God willing, my kids will grow up there. They will occupy bits of the future that I will not. One day I will not be here. God willing, they will be. They will be in a future that I will not occupy. How does that affect how I live? Right? The future has a face. The future has a name when you have a kid. And I thought about that with respect to Jesus' first advent. Advent simply means arrival. And with Jesus' first advent, God is making a down payment on the future. And the reason we know that is because Jesus hadn't done anything yet. All Jesus does at the first advent is to be born. There's angels doing lots of stuff. There's prophets and prophetesses who are doing all kinds of things. Shepherds and all kinds, Jesus' new parents. All kinds of stuff's happening. There's all kinds of activity. Jesus is just being born, right? He would do things in the future, establish God's kingdom in the earth through miracles, teaching in the church, die for our sins, be resurrected from the dead, ascend to the right hand of God. Yes, but all that's in the future at the first advent. All he did the first Christmas was to be born. That's because Jesus' first advent, right, the nativity story, is the down payment on the future. The future had a face. The future had a name. And that name and that face is Jesus, right? And some of the same thing happens in some of the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus. Those Old Testament prophecies that we dust them off around Advent, and we say, oh, we look back and say, wow, God was planning this from all this time ago, right? And in some of those Old Testament prophecies foretelling the coming of Christ, the future had a face, the future had a name. It was just really murky, and we were trying to figure out what that face and what that name was. Right, and God gave the future a face and a name to a guy named King Ahaz in the nation of Judah in the 700s BC. Right, in the 700s BC, this is where the prophecy about a virgin or a young girl shall give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel, Isaiah 7:14. It's this. This is the context for that. Right. This is the context of that. This is Isaiah speaking to the king of Judah, Ahaz, and speaking to Judah overall. Right? And God had to give the future a face and a name to specifically to Ahaz and the nation of Judah in the 700s BC. Why? Because they feared the future. They feared the future. They had anxiety about the future. So God had to say, I'm going to give the future a face and a name so that you don't fear it. Right? Why'd they fear the future? At the time, Assyria, the nation of Assyria, was the big boy nation on the block. It was devouring lots of nations from the Persian Gulf to Egypt. That's a massive swath of land. The nations of Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel, they formed an alliance because they wanted to stave off the Assyrian threat. And they wanted the southern tribe of God's people, Judah, to join the alliance. Judah, under the reign of King Ahaz, said no. And so Syria and Israel were like, yeah, we weren't exactly asking. And so they lashed out against Judah, and they really hit him pretty hard in a military campaign. King Ahaz and Judah were anxious and fearful about the future in light of this attack. Who wouldn't be? So Ahaz prays to God for wisdom and protection, and God delivers Judah from Syria and Israel, right? No. Nopey nope, sadly. If only it were that easy. Ahaz and Judah pay the pagan nation of Assyria to protect them against the Israel-Syria tag team. God sends the prophet Isaiah to call Ahaz back to sanity, the sanity of trusting God and fearing God only. God wants Ahaz to repent, trust him, and to have peace about the future. Right? In Isaiah 7, chapter 7, verse 4, God tells Isaiah specifically to say to Ahaz, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Don't lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, the son of Remaliah. Those are the rulers who were leading the Israel-Syria coalition. Notice this. Be careful. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. Be careful. Keep calm. And don't be afraid. Right? Remember, there's a Peanuts cartoon where Lucy says to Charlie Brown, I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole wide world. And Charlie Brown says, but I thought you were the one who had inner peace. Lucy replies, I do have inner peace, but I still have outer obnoxiousness. Right? Are you anxious? Are you fearful? Are you anxious and fearful about the future? Do you need the peace of God right now? Be careful. Be calm. Do not be afraid. And God gave Ahaz four faces to inspire him to trust God, to have peace about the future, to be careful, calm, and unafraid. Gives him four faces, four of them. Four children's faces. Children. To help him to be careful, calm, and unafraid. Four faces of peace. And that's how we're going to whittle our passage down. It's a massive bit of scripture. You know, and the one way to do long story short is to give you a few pictures. Just a few pictures to help us wrap our minds around what the Lord's doing in a really complicated political landscape where God's demanding faithfulness. Four faces of future peace. The first face is a kid named Shear Jashub, right? Isaiah 7, 1 through 4. When Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as trees in the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Shear Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful, be calm, and don't be afraid. Don't lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah. Isaiah takes his son Shear Jashub with him as he goes to confront Ahaz to tell him to be careful, to be calm, and to be unafraid, right? How did his name work? This is not this kid's real name. It isn't. It's not. It's not his real name, right? His mom did not give birth to him and say, ooh, I know, right? I could go with like Jimmy. I could go with like Nathan. I could go with, you know, Paul. Shear Jashub. Yeah. Right? It's not going to happen. Whatever this kid's real name was didn't really matter in this instance. What this is this kid's a symbol to talk about who God is. Right? And what God's going to do. His name means a remnant shall return. That's actually what his name means. Right? His name means a remnant shall return. God is saying to Ahaz, don't be afraid of Rezin, that's the king of Syria, or the son of Remaliah, Pekah, the king of Israel. Be careful, be calm, don't be afraid. Why shouldn't Ahaz be afraid? Why should he keep calm? Why should he be careful and not run around with his hair on fire? Right? Well, one reason is how God describes these two guys, these two kings. He describes them as smoldering stubs of firewood. He's like, yeah, sure, they're really angry that you won't join their coalition. They're really unhappy that you won't play reindeer games with them. But they're just smoldering stubs of firewood. They're smoldering. Right, this isn't like real burning hot flame. Yeah, they're angry and everything. He's like, they're just stubs. I know what it looks like to you. It looks like a forest fire. God's like, but to me, they're just smoldering stubs. Cool out. Cool out. Be careful. Keep calm. And don't be afraid. We get further insight as to why Ahaz should be careful, keep calm, and not be afraid, as we come to our next name, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, right? Pick it up in, it's still chapter 7. We're going to go through 10 through 17, right? Pick it up in verse 13. We're told, then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give to birth a son, and we will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows how to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste. The Lord will bring on you and your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. Well, now we get a fuller picture here, right? Is it going to be a baby who's born? We don't know who mom is. We're not told that, right? But there's a baby coming that's going to be born, and the baby's name, not the real name, but just this name given to symbolize who God is and what God's going to do, is Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us, or God is with us, right? Baby's going to be born. And while the baby is young, this is the whole thing with he'll be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. It's meant to say, when this kid is young, like when this kid's in kindergarten, Syria and Israel are going to get ransacked. It says, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste. They're going to get ransacked by who? By Assyria. Right? God truly is Emmanuel. I'm with you. I got this. You're worried about two nations? I'm God. I'm with you. You plus me is a majority. Emmanuel, God is with you. See that? But, right, Assyria is also going to attack Judah. The Lord will bring on you and your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. That will happen. Now, why? It's going to happen because Ahaz is not a good guy. Ahaz is not righteous. He's not awesome. He's a pagan. And there's going to be partial judgment on them because Ahaz has done something. Ahaz made a deal with Assyria in order to cause Assyria to come out against this coalition of Israel and Syria. And God's like, you trusted them and not me.
Right.
Israel and Israel and Syria are going to get wiped out. You are going to get disciplined.
Right.
And this is where the previous name comes in. A remnant shall return. You're going to get nailed, but there's going to be a remnant left. God is with you, but you're going to get disciplined, but there will be something left to you. Be careful, keep calm, and do not be afraid. Right? The fourth face. Fourth face is like one of the coolest names in all the Bible. Mer Shalahashbaz. Yeah, say that three times fast. Right, you'll be really popular at parties. Right, Mer Shalahashbaz. We meet this guy in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. This is really cool. The Lord said to me being Isaiah, the Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with an ordinary pen, Mer Shalahashbaz. So I called in Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah as reliable witnesses for me. Then I made love to the prophetess, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said to me, name him Mer Shalahashbaz. For before the boy knows how to say my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the plunder of Samaria will be carried off by the king of Assyria. Right? This is Isaiah's kid. Right? Isaiah's older boy, Shear Jeshub, was with him when he went to confront the king. Now, this is a whole new kid. Isaiah, his wife is a prophetess, right? They make love. They have a boy, or they're going to have a boy, and they're going to name him Mer Shalahashbaz. What does that mean? What that means is swift is the plunder, speedy is the prey, right? It's meant to symbolize that what happens to Israel and to Syria is going to be fast. It's going to be fast. Before the boy knows how to say my father or my mother, before he can say dada, mama, before that happens, they're going to get nailed by Assyria. More specifically, the wealth of their capitals, the wealth of Damascus, capital of Syria, the wealth of Israel, capital is Samaria, will be carried off by the king of Assyria. He's trying to say, look, I'm on this. If you think I'm going to forget, if you think that time's going to go by and you're like, oh, God, you better do something. I don't know. God, you're not on it. Please get on it. Why aren't you doing it? He's like, chillax. Chillax. Before this kid can say dada, mama, their capitals are going to get nailed. Strike right at the heart of these nations. Be careful. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. It's the third face. Last face. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. Right? And I'm reading only a piece of this prophecy. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing, upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Right? This name is interesting because we look at it and we think its attributes, even the way it's translated, it's Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Actually, it's a sentence. Just like the other names were. It actually makes sense. If the other names were basically sentences, why wouldn't the name of this new kid who's coming be a sentence? It is a sentence. It's not just a bunch of qualities. This is a sentence, and the sentence is, the Wonderful Counselor is a Mighty God, the Everlasting Father is a Prince of Peace. That's what that means. It's the name of another kid. Whose kid is this? This will be Ahaz's kid. And that's a guy named Hezekiah. Right? That's a guy named Hezekiah. You read about this, read deep into Isaiah, read Kings, and you see that Assyria pushed really far. What God prophesied was true. Assyria pushed far into Judah, right? And then came up against Jerusalem. And Hezekiah is godly, unlike his dad. And Hezekiah prays to God. He's like, okay, we have nothing but you. This army can destroy us. It's eaten other nations. If you don't show up, we have nothing but you, God. And God shows up and takes out the Assyrian army with one angel. One. History confirms this because Assyria, the Assyrians from ancient times, they document that they made inroads into Judah. And then they document that they did not take Jerusalem. They don't say why. And historians are kind of like, why didn't you just do this? You're much bigger. You're much stronger. Well, the scriptures say why? One angel. One angel. This is his son. This is Hezekiah. And the name that they give, his real name is Hezekiah. But the name given to him to show what God, who God is and what God was going to do is a Wonderful Counselor, is a Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, is a Prince of Peace. Right? And the point is this, Ahaz, you're running to everything but me. You're making deals, you're making political deals, you're playing games. You read a little bit more in Isaiah, you're summoning up spirits through mediums, you're having seances. I'm the counselor you need. You want to talk to somebody? Talk to me. And to commemorate that, God says, this is what we're going to call your son. Because your son will talk to me. And that's exactly what Hezekiah did. When Hezekiah saw Assyria up close and personal, right on the doorstep, Hezekiah went to God and said, we have nothing but you. He wasn't like his dad. And God said, that's what I want. One angel. Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Right. How do we take all this in Advent season? How do we do this? Right. As we stare at the ultimate face of the ultimate Son who God gives us so that we can be careful, so that we can be calm and unafraid. How do we take all this in? We say it like this. We say this. We say we need to make room for the peace that for the peace God is putting right before our eyes. Sorry about that. Make room for the peace that God is putting right before our eyes. Right? Right before Ahaz's eyes, he gives him four kids. Four. And renames them all kinds of weird names. Just to show something simple. I'm God. Here's what I'm like. Here's what I'm going to do. Be careful. Be calm. And don't be afraid. God's working overtime to press this on Ahaz's heart. And this Advent season, he's working overtime through the face of Christ to press it on my heart and yours. Make room for the peace that God is putting right before your eyes. Right. So it begs the question, who or what is God putting right before our eyes? I think God's still doing the same thing. It's not like, you know, kids with funny names, right? He's still putting peace right before our eyes. He's still saying, look, you might be anxious about the future. And I even understand why. But be careful. Don't be reckless. Keep calm. Don't be anxious. And be unafraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the present. Don't be afraid of the future. Right? He's still giving us reasons to believe him. Right? Who or what is God putting right before your eyes to give you present peace about the future? Who or what is God putting right before your eyes to speak his protection in the face of threats? Who or what is God putting right before your eyes to turn you to truth and away from lies? So much deception these days. Everywhere you turn. Got to tune that nonsense out and tune into the voice of the Lord. Who or what is God putting right before our eyes to help us to tune out fear and to trust God? Who is it? What is it? God still does this because he wants us to be careful, not reckless, to be calm, not anxious, and to be unafraid, not fearful. Because whenever we think things are going out of control and maybe there are real threats, maybe there is real stuff in the future that's scary. It's not like it's not real, but whenever we succumb to it, it's easy to get reckless. It's easy to get anxious. It's easy to be fearful and then make awful decisions and at times wreck our relationship with God. And God says, don't do it. Don't do it. Right? Trust me. Right? So a long time ago, there's a guy, he sought out the perfect picture of peace. And he didn't find one. He wasn't satisfied. So he announced a contest to produce a masterpiece that would perfectly depict peace. So there's a challenge that stirred the imagination of artists all over the world, and there's paintings that arrived from far and wide. Finally, the great day of revelation arrived. The judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another while viewers clapped and cheered. The tensions grew. Only two pictures remained veiled. As a judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. There's a mirror-smooth lake, and it reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. And along the grassy shore, there was a flock of sheep, and they were grazing undisturbed. And everyone thought, surely this is the winner. But the man with the vision, he uncovered the second painting himself, and the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be it? Could this be peace? And what it was is there was this like crazy tumultuous waterfall. It cascaded down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. In the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, there was a splendidly tree that clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience its full power. But there's a little bird that had built a nest in the elbow of that branch. And it was just as content and undisturbed as could be, even though it had all these stormy surroundings. It had a little nest with eggs, just hanging out, just being a bird. The bird had its eyes closed, wings ready to cover little ones. And the guy was like, that's peace. That's peace. The future might have scary things in it. It may have things that you need to take action on. This is true. And there may be things that require decisive moves on our part. and things that we have to do individually or that churches have to do in, locally and all that kind of stuff. There's enough out there to make you nuts, right? And if you're not fearful enough, you can just like go hit social media and that'll make you really afraid. And the Lord still looks at us and says, be careful, be calm, and be unafraid. He's showing us pictures of peace. And if you cannot see them, at the least, you can look at the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The ultimate picture of peace. Fear not, trust God. Amen? Praise the Lord.